Thank you, Pastor Jason. And yes, it's true, a lot of coaxing pretty much all year. And since this is supposed to be a smaller service, I said, and the Holy Spirit was really strong over the Thanksgiving weekend, I said yes, and then immediately he left me. I had no idea what I was going to speak on. And then he came back. Good morning. Buen camino. So earlier this year, I had a sabbatical, and many of you asked me what I was going to be doing on my sabbatical. I mentioned that my husband and I were going on a pilgrimage, walking the Camino de Santiago. Many of you were so nice and said, oh, that's nice, but what is the Camino? And then all of you were so polite and said, oh, have a good sabbatical and have fun. And when I told you that, I was going to be walking and hiking on this Camino. So let me give you a brief history of the Camino de Santiago, its significance, and why it's important for so many people, and how I ended up walking the Camino. The Camino de Santiago, or otherwise known as the Way Camino of St. James, Santiago, is an ancient pilgrimage with its roots in the 9th century. A shepherd named Pelayo found remains of a body at a place in a field that he was led to by the stars of the Milky Way. And then a local bishop declared that the remains were those of the Apostle St. James. And with this declaration, the Camino de Santiago was born. The bishop then ordered a church to be built around the site to house the remains of St. James. Then as word spread, pilgrims started walking from all across Europe and even further to visit the site, the sacred site of one of Jesus' apostles. And over the years, this small church grew to become the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. And that's what that is. The Camino is very popular with Roman Catholics, pilgrims, who travel to Santiago as a demonstration of their faith. But the Camino is not limited to those who are religious. Many people walk the Camino for spiritual reasons. And others walk the Camino for fun, for the challenge of completing the route. And similar to running a marathon. Now you're wondering why I decided to walk the Camino. And to tell you the truth, it was not my intention to walk the Camino. I didn't know anything about it until Virgil mentioned it to me. And it was on his bucket list, not mine. And he had asked me about walking it. Now remember, right? Most Catholics and hike enthusiasts know about the Camino, and most evangelicals do not. And do not go on this Camino. So Virgil heard, how did he hear about it? He heard it through some classmates, through a class that he was taking for spiritual direction and to become a spiritual director. And through these classmates, he found out that there was a movie that was made a long time ago, and for some of you may remember and some of you will not remember, a movie that was called The Way, starring Martin Sheen. And I know some of you don't know who Martin Sheen is, but that's okay. But after watching this movie, he was convinced that that was something that he wanted to do. Now me, I took the other direction. No, I'm not what I wanted to do, and it's not on my bucket list, but Barcelona was. Because the Santiago de Compostela is in Spain, and I figured it's pretty close to Barcelona, which is not, but anyway. First of all, walking the Camino for many people is a pilgrimage, right, to a sacred place. And in this case, it's to see where St. James was buried. Secondly, Martin Sheen, according to this movie, walked a long way. So I asked Virgil, I said, so how many miles is this Camino? And he said, well, it's about 790 kilometers. And I said, kilometers? Now, okay, you know that your wife is not really strong in math. So can you convert it into miles for me? And he said, oh, 490 miles. And I said, no way are we going to walk 490 miles. It'll take us a whole month to do it, if not more. And I don't have all that time. So we decided, okay, we'll do it for the sabbatical. So that was our initial conversation about it. And as we began to do more research on it, we found out that you don't have to walk all 490 miles. We can walk shorter miles, shorter days. And you can stay at hotels and not hostels. Our kids told us, no hostels. I said, okay. And we also found out there are many different routes that lead to the Santiago de Compostela, which is the end destination of our pilgrimage. And once I found out that we could do the shorter days and shorter miles and tour Barcelona, which is where I really wanted to go, I said, okay, we'll go do the Camino. The route we chose was called the Portuguese Central Way. It's an inland route. And we start in Portugal, which is south of Santiago de Compostela, and we walk north into Spain. Santiago de Compostela is just over the border of Portugal, and we walk through hamlets and villages, farmlands, and the countryside. And most of the time we were walking through forests, but there were times when we were walking through city streets and the shoulder of highways. So this route was the last 125 kilometers, or 80 miles, of the Camino, and we were walking an average between 12 to 16 miles a day. We made it in 7 days.
Yay.
Okay, very nice, right? 7 days instead of 15 or a whole month. But this route wasn't all flat, and each day we were climbing hills and we were climbing mountains. Now, as I was preparing for this trip, pretty much all the practical stuff that you have to bring, you know, on a regular trip, the Holy Spirit was preparing my heart. And it was then that the trip, especially the Camino, the thought of walking the Camino, became a pilgrimage for me. I sensed that I would be meeting God along this journey towards that sacred place. And then seeing Barcelona became secondary. It wasn't that important anymore. I sensed the Spirit telling me to leave my heart open to what God was going to show me while I was walking the Camino. And God did show up in many ways. He showed up in the little things, not always obvious. He showed up in the people I met along the way, and in the stories I heard, in the conversations that I had with them. Sometimes he showed up in the unexpected ways as well. But I had to have the eyes and an open heart to recognize that the Spirit was working and that God was always present. So you ask, how did God show up as I walked the Camino? Well, on the first day of the walk, it was really, really hot. And we were walking in an industrial area of the city. And the rays of the sun was just reflecting off the cement, off the sidewalk. And I was getting a little overheated, almost to getting sunstroke, because it was so warm. And I was concentrating on trying not to faint. And that's when I heard something. I heard the sound of water. I couldn't see its source, but I heard it running right along the sidewalk. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. But what God brought into my mind, though, was the sense of how cool that water was going to become. And immediately my body started to cool down. And then the next thing God brought to mind was a verse. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. That's Psalm 23:2. As soon as I heard that, I said, that is going to be my verse for the rest of the trip that I walk, for the rest of the time that I walk. The verse became an anchor for whenever I got started to feel tired. And all along those 80 miles, A stream of water was running alongside that route. Or the water of a flowing down a ditch. A lot of times we saw waterfall, a really small waterfall. So all those were reminders to me that God was there to refresh my soul, give me energy to complete that mile when I was lagging, and to tell me that he was present with me. So I'd like to pause right now, and I would like to ask you to reflect on your own spiritual journey this past year. What verse did God bring to mind for you? And if not the whole verse, maybe a word or a phrase that refreshed your soul. So let's just take a few minutes, and I'll let you reflect on that. What comes to mind? I saw God in the people that we met along the Camino. Also on the first day of our pilgrimage, we met two women from Canada named Charlotte and Leslie, who had started their journey 2 days before us. So they greeted us with Buen Camino, which is a phrase pilgrims along the Camino journey use to greet one another. This phrase literally means good path. It's generally understood as good luck and happy traveling. Charlotte and Leslie were not the only people we met on the Camino. The Camino draws many pilgrims from different places, backgrounds, ethnicities, languages, and cultures. Exchanging the greeting, Buen Camino, with fellow pilgrims and was a way of recognizing and sharing presence with them. It was a way of connecting and first step towards friendship. This is what happened between Charlotte and Leslie and us. Sometime during each day of our walk, we would see Charlotte and Leslie. Sometimes we would share a meal with them. Sometimes we would share a snack with them. Sometimes we would just, oh, this is a good place to rest with all of us. And then sometimes we would walk a certain distance with them. They became our companions along the journey where the road could be tough, but they were always there to give us an encouraging word. You know, we always looked forward to seeing them, and if we didn't see them, you know, that day didn't feel complete. So I'd like to, again, have you look at, reflect on your own spiritual journey of this year, this past year. Who are your spiritual companions? Are you a spiritual companion for someone else? You know, every Sunday when we gather here at church for worship service or for Sunday school, or when the youth gather on Friday nights, even for Sunday school, and our children gather for Sunday school here, or when you gather in small groups, you know, we are companions for one another. And whenever one of us is not here or at any of those gatherings, you know, you are missed, and your presence is missed. So again, let's pause and reflect on who our spiritual companions are and give thanks for their presence. I saw God in the little and not obvious ways, and it wasn't in this particular day until later at night when we were reflecting on the day that we realized something significant had happened. That day we were hopelessly lost and couldn't seem to find the right route we were supposed to be walking, even though I had a GPS and it showed us where we're supposed to be. We had walked a good 3 hours already, not really sure that the direction that we were going was the right way when we stopped to rest. We were on the highway and stopped at what seemed to be an abandoned house. And across the way, across the highway, there was another house, and there was a woman, an elderly woman, who was outside watering her plants. And every once in a while, she would look over at us, and I don't know if she thought we were going to break into the house or something, I don't know, but she would, every once in a while, she would look over at us. When she got done watering her plants, she walked back into her house, and then by that time, we were ready to get back onto the road. So as she saw us getting ready to walk, she poked her head out of the door and she said, and we gestured as to where we thought, kind of asking her, so is this the right way we're going? And she just said, oh, no. I mean, you could tell on her face. She just, no, going like this. And then she said, and she pointed in another direction. I go, ah. So that's where we went. We ended up walking in that direction. And then when we got to a juncture of whether we should stay on the highway or walk uphill into another village, which was really a hard uphill, we heard this really shrill whistle right behind us. And we turned around, and there was this guy riding his bike, all in his biking gear outfit, fluorescent green and orange. You know, you couldn't miss him. And then he gave us other directions. You know, don't go this, if you go this way, then, you know, it's harder. If you go that way, it's a lot easier. So we decided, well, we'll just go in that direction. But he gave us some more directions, which was really nice. And then we got up to the top of the hill. And so we had to stop again. More for me, because I need to refuel. You know, every mile and a half, I had to eat something. And this woman in this village came out of her house taking out her trash, and she looked at us, but she didn't greet us or anything, and so we didn't know if she was friendly or not. And so she came back around, and by this time we were ready to walk again, and we were getting ready to walk up the hill. And then she turned around, and she motioned to us. So I said, okay, well, what are you, just weren't sure what she was motioning us for. And then she started walking, and she turned around again, and then she motioned to us again to follow. So instead of walking uphill, she led us down the glen where it was shady. And again, I heard the water running. Remember? The water refreshes my soul. So we were walking down this glen. It was very peaceful. It was quiet and it was shady. I didn't have to walk in the sun again. And then halfway down this glen, She motioned to where, she pointed to where another road was. And we could see the people walking, the tops of the head of the people walking. And we realized she had led us to the route where we really needed to be. We needed to be back at that path. And that's the one that we were searching for. Later that night, Virgil and I were reflecting on the day, and we realized that those three people were angels. First, the elderly woman, the guy on the bike, and then this woman who had led us down the glen. We had taken a long detour, but God had sent us these three, and we realized they were our angels. He sent them to us at the right time to show us the way and to get us back onto the right path. And on that path, when we got back on that path, we found the markers that we really needed to see. The markers were the symbol of a yellow scallop shell against a blue background and a yellow arrow that pointed us in the direction that we needed to go. And then we saw the other pilgrims who were traveling that same route that would help us keep us on the right path. So, who are angels? Who are the angels in your life? Who are the angels that have come into your life when you were lost? Or maybe there to protect you from harm. Would you be able to recognize the angels? Virgil and I almost missed them, but it wasn't until we reflect upon angels. They were there for us at that right time, at the right place? And what are the markers that you have? What are the markers in your life or pilgrims or companions in your life that have kept you from getting lost? So I'd like to have a pause again, and let's remember to see if we can remember those angels that have come into our lives this past year. So let's just pause again and think and thank them. You know, God showed up in a very unexpected way as well. Most of the days we were walking was very, very warm, and close to about 80 to 85 degrees. And there were times when we were out in the full sun walking on gravel or stone, walking uphill and then descending and then seeing green valleys. One day, sometime mid-afternoon, it was a particularly hard stretch of road that we were walking, and we were walking up a small hill. And then as we were descending and then rounding a bend, at the bottom of the hill, right next to this huge green field, and with no house in sight, there sat a huge semi-ice cream truck. Ice cream, right in the middle. No city, right in the middle of the field there. Now, you can't pass up ice cream, right? What a gift. Such an unexpected gift. Now, there were people who were walking behind us who just walked straight past it and didn't stop. But then, you see that woman in the red? That's Charlotte. Charlotte was there, and they had stopped to get ice cream. So when Virgil and I came upon them, we said, you know what? We were going to walk right by, too. But then we decided, you know what? This is such an unexpected gift. What a treat. We're going to stop just like Charlotte and Leslie. And that's what we did. We stopped, and you can tell, we had a nice ice cream cone. Now, what Charlotte and Leslie taught us was that we had to take time, even during the walk, to stop and enjoy rest and the unexpected gift. God's grace was evident that day. Okay, when were you surprised by God's grace this past year? Did you stop to thank him or just go on with what you were doing? Were you able to enjoy the unexpected gift God put in your path? Question that I'd like to leave with you. Okay. So then what did I learn on this Camino? Even for those short 7 days, there were a lot of things. But I will only share a few. One, I learned that companionship of fellow pilgrims was very important for the journey. Every time I encountered another pilgrim or a group of pilgrims, and when we greeted each other with the phrase, Buen Camino, I felt a connection with them, that we were traveling on the same road for the same purpose. We didn't always have deep conversations, but whenever we saw each other, either further down the road or at a rest stop, we looked for each other. Every time we spoke the greeting, it became more heartfelt. Now, everyone is at a crossroad in their life, but knowing that others were traveling on the same road, sharing the same journey, makes this spiritual journey as a pilgrim a meaningful one. That's why I love coming here every Sunday. I love traveling this journey with you, knowing that you are on the same journey with me, hearing your stories about how God shows up in your life, the struggles that you may be going through, and to also let you know that you're not alone. You know, I miss seeing you when you're not here. But even when you are here and it's just a short hello, a quick hug, I am always happy to see you. You know, I work with the children, and seeing them each week is really a blessing. I know that the children are also glad to see each other. And when one child is not here, that child is missed by his classmates, by the Sunday school teachers. And that family is missed. So parents, please do not underestimate the community that is being formed in each of the Sunday school classes each week. Your presence and their presence is important. The second thing I learned, is that because when there was no internet and no other distractions, I became aware of my surroundings. I noticed the sweet smell of the eucalyptus trees. You know, it smells a lot different there than here. I hear the birds chirping much more clearer. And then I also heard the streams of water flowing. I also noticed the path I was walking. Many times I was looking down, looking at the road, making sure that I wasn't going to walk on rocks that was going to turn my ankles, because then that would have been not a good thing. I wouldn't be able to continue to my journey. But even then, I learned a lesson about my spiritual life, looking down on the road I was walking. There have been many people walking this same path for over 1,000 years, and every year there are about 250,000 pilgrims walking on this path. Not on the same route, but close enough. So with so many pilgrims walking this path, it's well-worn in certain places, and theirs are not well-worn, but still walked on. What was God showing me? What was God's message to me while I was looking at this path? I'm looking at the smooth road. And that road is easy to walk because people have already walked it. But it also reminded me that God had already gone before me and has gone before me. And he's already paved the way. But the rocks on the side of the road, that's less traveled. And it reminds me that there is going to be rocky times on this spiritual journey. But then, how then do I navigate through those times? Stepping carefully and making sure of my footing while walking across those rocks made me think of who and what that sure footing should and would be. So this Camino is a journey of the heart and soul and personal to each one of us. It's a journey of life, our spiritual life, and is an experience of seeing God's work in your life. As I mentioned in the beginning, I sensed that the Spirit was telling me to leave my heart open to what God was going to show me while on this Camino. But leaving my heart open meant that I needed to be aware of his presence at every step I took, and seeing God in the people I encountered along the journey. So I want to leave you with this question. It's more of an invitation. Okay, ready? How is God inviting you to take your own personal Camino? Thank you.